The fifth parak starts out discussing the concept that we saw at the beginning of the Masechta, that in order to violate the prohibition of Me'ilah, an individual has to have a benefit of the value of a pruta. Less than that doesn't violate the prohibition, deoraisa, of Me'ilah. And what we're going to talk about is how do we value that and the details around that. And in fact, it's not so simple. We're going to divide up between two categories. Category number one is going to be an item that does not degrade with use. So, for example, a gold glass, that doesn't get worn, it doesn't degrade in value over time. So that is going to be category number one, and that's going to be much simpler. There is going to be a prohibition of me'ila when somebody benefits in the value of a pruta, period. We're not going to look at the degradation, wear and tear on that item. However, category number two are items which do degrade with use, they get worn out and they can get damaged. And accordingly, there are two requirements in order to violate the prohibition of Me'ilah. Requirement number one is that you benefit in the amount of a pruta, that same as category number one. So a person uses it, something owned by the Beis HaMikdash, but he uses it for personal use, and the value of a pruta. But there's a second requirement as well, because it's the type of item that does degrade with use, it has to degrade in the value of a pruta. So there are those two requirements when we have an item that does degrade. So our Mishnah is going to be discussing, maybe it's a third category of items, but it's just going to be a machlokas, whether it fits into category number one or category number two. And these are items that will not degrade upon use immediately, but in the future, they will degrade. And we're going to see that it's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. Does that put it into category number one as an item that does not degrade at all? And accordingly, there's going to be a me'ila with just one requirement, that the person benefits for a pruta, the value of a pruta, or is it going to be in category number two? Then there are going to be two requirements in order to violate the prohibition of me'ila. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Hanehene shave pruta mina hekdesh. If somebody has hana'a equal to a pruta from an item that is owned by the hekdesh, af al pi shelo pagam, even though it has not degraded in value in the amount of a pruta, hasn't degraded at all, it doesn't matter. Ma'al, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says there is going to be a me'ila. Rabbi Akiva is talking about the type of item that does not degrade immediately, but will degrade in the future. If he's talking about a type of item that does not degrade at all, both Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva would agree that there is going to be a me'ila with a benefit of a pruta. They're both going to agree in category number two as well. The simple machlokis here is simply when we have an item that does not have immediate degradation, but it does in the future, do we put it into category number one or category number two? Here Rabbi Akiva puts it into category number one because there's not an immediate degradation. It is considered to be an item which does not degrade, and accordingly, if somebody has a non, the amount of a pruta, that will violate the prohibition of Me'ilah. On the other hand, Rechachamim Omrim, they are of the view, Kol Davar Sheyesh Bo Pgam, anything that does degrade, even not immediately, even if in the future, Lo Ma'al Ad Sheyifkon, there's going to be no Isra Me'ilah until it degrades in the amount of a pruta. And in addition, you have to have a benefit of a pruta, two requirements, Kol Davar Sheyesh Bo Pgam, any item that does not degrade at all. If it doesn't degrade at all, then there's only going to be one requirement, Kevan Shenehen Emal, because you had Hana, there is going to be a violation of Me'ila. Now we're going to say Ketzah, let's give different examples of items that are not damaged by regular use, that don't degrade. So Ketzah, so we're now going to have three examples as it relates to typically for a woman of use, and then we'll talk about a man's use. So Ketzah, we're now talking about items that do not get damaged, do not degrade. Number one, we have a woman who's nasna katla b'tzavara. If there is a necklace that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, so it's hekdesh, and she wears it, puts it around her neck. So that is an item that you don't wait to degrade. It doesn't degrade, so as immediately when she has a benefit of the amount of a pruta she would have to pay. Now, she would have to pay, if she has more than a benefit of a pruta, she would have to pay for more. Whatever the benefit is what she is going to have to pay. Nasna kadla bitzavara, or number two, tabas biyada, if she's wearing a ring, a high quality gold ring that doesn't degrade with use on her hand, it's owned by the base of Mikdash. Same thing. Or number three, shatatak b'koshel zahav, if she drinks from a kos, a glass that is made of gold, so it does not degrade. In all of these situations, kaven shenehenisa, as soon as she has a benefit of a pruta, she's going to be mala. This is all going to be category number one. Mi'ila, for an item that does not degrade, is going to be not dependent on degradation, because it doesn't get damaged or degraded. It simply, is there a benefit of a pruta? If there was, she's going to have to pay for the amount of the benefit received. And now we're going to have examples of items that do degrade, category number two, and we'll talk about a man, if he's lavash, b'chaluk, if he wears a shirt that's owned by the base of Mikdash, or number two, kisa betalis, or if he's wearing an outer garment, a cloak, owned by the base of Mikdash, bika bekardom, or he's cutting trees with an axe that's owned by the base of Mikdash. All of these are items that do degrade, shirts, clothing, etc., axes with usage, there's wear and tear and breakage, lomal, achif, gom, there are going to be two requirements, there's not going to be a violation of Mi'ila until it actually degrades in the value of a pruta, so it goes down in value by a pruta, and also the hana, the benefit received, has to be in the amount of a pruta. Talash min achatas kishihi chaya. If somebody has a korban chatas, it was designated a korban chatas, it can be other korbanas as well, and now it's a balmum. Balmum, something that can no longer be brought on the mizbeach, it has an invalidating blemish, or it can't be brought. So what you have to do is you have to sell it, and with the money, you sell it to redeem the value on it, to the kedusha on it, and the money is going to become kadosh, or the kedusha transfers to the money, and the money is going to use for a korban. If somebody came and talash min achatash kishi chaya, this animal, it's a balmum, it's still alive, and somebody came and plucks out its hair, takes out from its coat, that is going to cause a degradation in value, and accordingly, this is the type of thing that can degrade. It's category number two. It can degrade because when you want to sell it off, when you want to have it redeemed, if somebody plucked from it, you're going to get less of a value. Accordingly, lomal achivkom, there's not going to be a mi'ila because it's in category number two, unless the valuation of this animal via the plucking of its hairs goes down by a pruta. So it's in category number two. It has two conditions in order to violate the prohibition of mi'ila. Having said that, kishimesa, if we had this animal that was designated for a korban and it has passed away now, and somebody plucks the hair, this is no longer in category number two, that it can degrade in value. The animal is already dead. It has no value. It cannot be redeemed any longer. You can't redeem the kedusha and give the meat to dogs, for example. That would be a zilzul. That would be a disgrace to the korban. Accordingly, it's now in category number one. And when somebody plucks the hair, kishimesa, when it's already dead, kevan shenene, it's going to be in category number one. We're not going to look at the degradation in value, and it has to go down by kruta. That's not the case. As soon as somebody has a hana in the value of a pruta mal, that person has violated the prohibition of mi'ila. Mishnah Beis continues talking about category number two, an item which does degrade. And accordingly, there are two requirements to violate the prohibition of mi'ila. Number one is that the item degrades in the value of a pruta. And number two, that the person benefits from using that item that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash in the value of a pruta. Mishnah Beis, we're going to go into a little bit more detail on this. Nehene b'chatzi pruta upagam b'chatzi pruta. How about if you had hana, not from a full pruta, but a half a pruta was the hana, was the benefit received, and also there was a diminution of value, the value went down by the use, a half a pruta as well. So half and a half, and we'll look in the Bar Tanura quickly as an example. Kagon, lavash bigdei kodesh, bahana'at shir shave chetzi pruta. The person, for example, is wearing for his own personal use the clothing of the Beis HaMikdash, an item of clothing that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and he had hana the benefit received by him was a half of a pruta, upagam bechetzi pruta, and also he caused a diminution of value in that beged, half a pruta. For example, he ripped it a little bit or caused some other damage to it. So it's a half and a half on this. Or another example, o shenehene b'shave pruta b'davar echad, upagam b'shave pruta b'davar acher. He has two items, and one of them, it was a full pruta that he had benefit from, and the other item, he didn't benefit at all, but he caused a decrease in value of a full pruta. Hareze lomal. There is no me'ila in either of these cases. The first case was on one item, half a pruta benefit, half a pruta diminution in value. And the second case, we had two items owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a benefit received on a full pruta and diminution on the other one of a full pruta. The bottom line here, when we're in category number two, an item which does degrade is, there's no me'ila ad sheyehan lebeshave pruta, until the individual fulfills both of the requirements. Number one, that he has a hana, a benefit of a full pruta or more, and in addition, v'yifkom beshave pruta, he has to be pogem, he has to have a decrease in value, causes a decrease in value of the item, bedavar echad, in the same item. It can't be one item and one item, that you have one condition on one item and a different condition on the other item. Both of the conditions have to be fulfilled on the same item. Mishnah Gimel teaches us a very important principle when it comes to me'ila, that as a default, the typical case is when somebody does me'ila on an item owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Once me'ila is done, the person removes that item from effective ownership of Hekdash. At least the kedusha of the item goes away. And what that means is when somebody takes an item, let's say it's owned by the Beit HaKabbayis, it's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, it's a beautiful screwdriver. And it's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and it's obviously not something that's going to be brought as the korban, it's not going to be brought on the Mizbeach, and somebody uses it for personal benefit. So he converts that into an item that was previously had Hekdash status to something that is now cooling status. It doesn't have Hekdash status anymore. If somebody else comes and uses that screwdriver for his own personal benefit, there will not be a second me'ila on that item because the first person removed it from having its status as Hekdash. So accordingly, the Mishnah tells us as a default, ein mo'el achar mo'el b'mukdashim, there's no me'ila after me'ila with an item that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash with Hekdash. That is the default, that the second person is not going to violate the prohibition of me'ila because the first person removed that item from having the status as Hekdash. But there's an exception to the rule. We are talking now about items that have Kedusha because it's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, but it doesn't have Kedushas HaGuf. Kedushas HaGuf is a higher level of Kedusha. The item in of itself is holy. And a couple of examples that the Mishnah brings. Ela Behema, we're talking about an animal that is Tamima. It is a Behema Tamima, which means it's not blemished. There are no blemishes accordingly. It was donated, designated to be brought as a korban. It has Kedushas HaGuf. And accordingly, because it doesn't have a blemish, it cannot be redeemed. Somebody cannot say, I'm going to buy that animal out of Hekdash. Once it has a blemish, you can do it. You do redeem it. You can redeem it. But the default is, if there is no blemish, it is Kedushas HaGuf, and somebody cannot redeem it. And accordingly, because it has that Kedusha Saguf, that higher standard of Kedusha, higher level of Kedusha, that somebody cannot redeem it. Accordingly, if somebody uses it for personal benefit, he certainly violates the prohibition of Me'ila, but he does not remove it from its Hekdash status because it has that Kedusha Saguf, higher level of Kedusha. And accordingly, if somebody else comes along and also personally benefits from that item, he is benefiting again from an item that has Kedusha Saguf, it has Hekdash status, and accordingly, there is going to be Me'ila or Me'ila. The second person will violate Me'ila, the third person will violate Me'ila, etc., because that item is not removed from Hekdash. So that is a behema, that's an unblemished animal that is to be brought as a korban. Also clay shares, items that are used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash called the clay shares. Clay is is plural tense, kli sharis, single, you have a kli sharis. So that also, if somebody benefits from it, he converts it, but there, it doesn't get converted out of hekdesh, it maintains its kedushas haguf status. Ketzad, so let's have some examples of what is going on, that the person does not remove the item because it's kedushas haguf, and accordingly, there is me'ila achar me'ila. Ketzad, let's spell out three examples of this. Rachav al gabe behema, somebody took a ride on top of an animal that is unblemished, it's to be brought as a korban, so he violates the prohibition of me'ila. But the second person comes along and does the same, ubachavero v'rachav, he also rode on it, ubachavero v'rachav, the third person, and all the way down the line, because we're talking about an item that is kedushas haguf. Accordingly, when somebody violates me'ila, it does not remove the kekdesh status of that item, and each of the further people benefiting as well violate the prohibition of me'ila. Example number two. Now we're not going to talk about the behemoth example, we're going to talk about the kli sharis example. Shasa b'koshel zahav, if somebody drank, he was thirsty, and the base of mikdash one took one of the kli sharis of the base of mikdash, a gold kli sharis, and he drank from it because he was thirsty. Uba chavero v'shasa, number two, number three, also drank, second person, third person drank, they are all violating the prohibition of mi'ila, because the item has a kedusha sa'guf, and when mi'ila is done, it does not remove the hekdesh status from it. Example number three of something with a kedusha sa'guf, that we have mi'ila achar mi'ila, talash minachatas, somebody came and plucked hairs from an item, from an animal, that was designated to be brought as a korban chatas, it doesn't have to be gachatas, it can be other korbanas as well. Plucking from the animal is a violation of mi'ila, but because it's a kedusha saguf, it doesn't remove the unblemished animal from hekdesh, ubachavero v'talash, the second person did the same, ubachavero v'talash, third person did the same. All of them, kula malu, all of them are violating the prohibition of mi'ila. Now, Rebbe Omer, he goes even stricter, and he says, kol she'en lapidon, as we said before, anything that cannot be redeemed, yesh bo moel achar moel, there is mi'ila achar mi'ila. He doesn't seem to be adding anything. That's what the Tana Kama says. When you have something that cannot be redeemed, that's something that is a kedusha sakuf. Accordingly, when somebody does mi'ila, it doesn't remove it from a hektish, and the second person also violates mi'ila. So what is he coming to add? So the nafkamina between the Tana Kama and Rebbe, who seem to say the same thing, two possibilities. Possibility number one is it's coming to add on. Rebbe is coming to add that if somebody donated wood, the wood to be used on the Mizbeach, so that as well has Kedusha Saguf. It cannot be redeemed, and accordingly, if somebody benefits from the wood, and then a second person and third person, it's not going to be removed from its Hekdesh status, and there would be a violation of Mi'ila by the first, second, and third people. So that is what Rebbe is adding on. The Tana Kama would not agree with that. Or another possibility brought by the Bartanura, and we won't go into detail, is that he's coming to include an animal that was designated as a korban, but it developed a blemish. It developed a blemish, and before it was redeemed. So we have this animal, it was hekdesh, it had a blemish. Now you can redeem it, and you can use the money for a korban, but before it was redeemed, somebody went and did shechita on the animal before the redemption. So there, Rebbe would say that there is mi'ila achar mi'ila for those who benefit from that animal because it was not redeemed yet. Then the Tana Kama would disagree. The Tana Kama would say there is not going to be mi'ila achar mi'ila on this. As long as it was slaughtered, as long as it was a movement, it was slaughtered. Thereafter, even though it wasn't redeemed yet, there's not going to be mi'ila achar mi'ila in that situation. Mishnah Dalet is going to go in a little bit of a different direction. So there are actually two ways to violate the prohibition of mi'ila. The one that we have been seeing over and over up until this Mishnah is when somebody benefits from an hekdesh article. So somebody has the benefit of an item from hekdesh. If you have a benefit of one pruta, that is a violation of the prohibition of mi'ila. And now we're going to see this is a different direction, a different way to violate mi'ila, is taking an article, an item from the domain of Hekdesh into one's own item. That's the concept of conversion, as we've mentioned in the past, taking somebody something from one person's possession into your own possession, so converting it. So taking it from the domain of the Hekdesh, the domain of the Beis Hamikdash, into one's own personal possession. Now, what's going to be interesting is that we are talking now about the Gizbar, the treasurer, an employee, a custodian of the Hekdesh. So the item effectively is already in his possession. So he has to effectively take it out of his possession, give it to somebody else in order to violate the second type of Me'ila. So taking the article from the domain of Hekdesh, it's already in under his authority. So we're going to see various ways that there's going to be a violation of the prohibition of Me'ila. And again, something that we need to remember is we're talking about Shogeg. Me'ila is when it's done by mistake. That is when you have to pay back the benefit and add a chomesh and bring the korban as a kapara. That's the kasham Me'ilo. So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, talking about the Gizbar, we're going to see the number of halachas will divide it effectively into three. So number one is as follows, Natal Even or Koresh El Hekdesh. We're talking about the treasurer, the Gizbar, the employee, the custodian of the Hekdesh, or the Beis HaMikdash, and he has already in his possession a stone that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, or a beam that's going to be used for the Beis HaMikdash. Those all have the status of Hekdesh. Harezilo Ma'al, even though he has it and he took it in his possession, he was taking it for himself, b'shogeg, but because it is still in his possession, it was in his possession as the Gizbar, it's still in his possession, even though he's taking it for his personal use, that is not going to violate the prohibition of Me'ila. However, nisano l'chaveiro, if he transfers it, the item, be it a stone or a korah, a beam, or something else, an item owned by the Beis HaMikdash, he transfers it to somebody else, now it is taking that item out of the reshus, out of the possession, the legal possession of the Beis HaMikdash and into his own benefit. He's giving it to somebody. Hu Ma'al, the Gizbar, the treasurer, violates the prohibition of Me'ila because he's taking it out of the Hekdesh possession and he's giving it to his friend. So he's the one who's passing it over, the Chaveru Lomal. However, his friend, who's the recipient, he's not going to violate Me'ila. Why? Because it's the Gizbar. When he hands it over, he takes it from his own possession, but that he is a representative of the Hekdesh, and he gives it to somebody else. That is now removing that item from the possession of Hekdesh to somebody else's Hekdesh. That was the Me'ila, and once Me'ila is done, as we've seen in the past, we are talking about an item that's owned by the Bet HaKamayis, it loses its sanctity. So even though that recipient, the friend, may use that item for his own personal uses, there's not going to be a Me'ila on that because the Me'ila already happened when the Gizbar handed that item over to his friend. That is halacha number one. Halacha number two, very similar. Binna'al b'soch beiso. We have this Gizbar that had an item in his possession. If he built it into the foundation of his house or something like that, that's an immediate Me'ila. He had it in his possession, he put it into his foundation. There's an immediate benefit from putting it, building it as something fundamental in his house. What we're talking about is something else. He built it into the roof. So, for example, there was a hole in the roof, and he filled it with this beam that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash. So he built it into his house, closing up up an opening in his roof. There's not going to be an immediate Me'ila, because there's no immediate benefit from that. Ad shiador tachteh b'shaveprutah, until he's underneath it and benefits it from it in the value of a shaveprutah. For example, it kept the rain out, and now he's underneath it, or the house is benefiting from it because it's not getting damaged, then that would be a Me'ila. It's not enough that it's in his possession. He built it into his house. He's underneath it, and he has a benefit of a Shave Pruta. Halacha number three is going to be very similar. Natal Pruta Shalakdes, this individual, this Gizbar, again, Bishogeg, took a Pruta of Hekdesh. That's in his possession still. As the Gizbar, he has the authority to have it on him. Hareza lo Ma'al, that is not going to be a Me'ila, even though he forgot that it's the Beis HaMikdash and he is intending to use it for his personal use. It hasn't been used yet. That is not going to be a Me'ila. However, having said that, Nisan al-Chaver, again, he gave it to his friend. Hu ma'al v'chaver lo ma'al, the gizbar, once he transfers possession to his friend, he has violated the prohibition of me'ilah. The friend has not, because once there is a me'ilah by the gizbar, there's no subsequent me'ilah on this item. If the item has been taken out of its sanctity, and now a related issue, as if he gives it nisano le balan, if that gizbar had it in his possession and he gives it a balan, is the bathhouse attendant, the guy who stands at the door at the mikvah, the bathhouse, and now what you're effectively doing, the gizbar is doing, is paying for a service, the service of going into the bathhouse. Even though he hasn't had a benefit yet, he hasn't washed, he hasn't taken a bath, ma'al, there is an immediate mi'ila in this instance. Why is that? Because that's the end of the service. Once you pay the attendant for it, shuhu omer lo, the attendant says to the individual, you've paid your entrance fee, hare merchatz pesucha hikanes rochot, you can go in, you can do anything you want, you've now paid the fee to go in, you can go use the bathhouse as you desire. So accordingly, because that payment is all that's necessary, that's the transaction between them, transaction is complete at this point, there is going to be a mi'ila, even though that gizbar who is going into the bathhouse has not benefited yet. Payment is what all is required in order to have violated the prohibition of mi'ila. Mishnah builds on the concept we've seen over and over that mi'ila is implicated and violated when somebody has a benefit of a shav, a pruta, the value of a minimum of a pruta from an item that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, from a hektish item. And what we're going to see in this Mishnah is, in fact, it doesn't only have to be one individual that had the value of the pruta, can be divided between two individuals. So, for example, if somebody has a piece of pizza and he has a benefit from that piece of pizza, small piece of pizza, he has a little piece of it, of a pruta, he has a half a pruta, and he gives his friend to eat from it a half a pruta as well. So, A, that first individual, by eating it and feeding it to somebody, he will violate the prohibition of mi'ila, even though he himself only had half a pruta, but between the two of them, it's a full pruta. So even though the pruta is divided by two people, or the act is divided into two by two people, there's still going to be a violation of the prohibition of mi'ila. We will aggregate those partial prutas together to be a full pruta, because A, the first one, is involved with B's benefiting from Ekdash. He gave him the food, or he gave him a benefit. He anointed him with oil that was on the base of Mikdash and the like. So Mishnah A says as follows, Achilaso, A's eating a part of a pruta, let's say half a pruta of achilas chavero, and a half a pruta eaten by B, which A facilitated, hanayaso v'hanayas chavero, A has hanah of a half a pruta, and so does B, but A facilitated B's benefiting. And even if we mix those two, achilaso, if A has an achila of less than a pruta, half a pruta, and hanayas chavero, and B facilitated by A has a benefit, he doesn't eat it, but he had some benefit from the item, and the reverse, hanayasa v'achilas chavero, or A had the hana and B ate the item, all of these mi'starfin zeim zeh, these will be all combined together, aggregated together, v'afilu lizma meruba, and even if there's a large gap of time between A and B's benefit or eating, or even if, especially if that's the case, but even A and A, if A ate one half a pruta today and half a pruta tomorrow, or A today, half a pruta, and B half a pruta tomorrow, even if there's a long gap between that, we will be mitzaref those two partial prutas together to achieve a full pruta, and there will be a violation of the prohibition of mi'ila.